Hi, everyone.
Hey,
I'm Alicia.
And I'm Meredith.
And this is It's About the Pasta, a Vanderpump Rules podcast. We're at season 9, episode 7. It blows my mind that Vanderpump Rules has been on this long, but man, is it worth it. I love it.
I'm so happy.
Before we get into it, check out the A&M Podcast Network. We have this podcast. We have Summer is Fun, a summer house podcast, which is right now a winter house podcast because it's live. And we also do One Season Wonders. What else? Follow us on Instagram at Vanderpasta. I was a little late today with the tweets because I watched the episode a little late. Okay.
They were solid tweets.
They were funny. You can join our Facebook group. It's the same name as the podcast. Please be sure to rate, review, subscribe. We actually have a new review.
Yay. I was so happy.
This is a 5-star review titled 5-star pasta by Kelly Sabbath. Kelly Sabbath, maybe 4444 from Canada.
Ooh.
So, she says, I had been searching for a podcast to increase my Vander content for a while, and this one is by far the best. The girls are really honest, funny, relatable, and knowledgeable about the VP world. It feels like I'm hanging with friends and my fave Bravo Lebs at the same time. Keep rocking it. Oh my God, we are nowhere near Bravo Lebs, but thank you so much. That was the best part. But thank you so much.
That's we love so to nice. Live in our reality TV world. Like Alicia and I actually do text about these shows even.
Oh my God. Meredith and I probably talk the most out of any other person I've talked to in my life.
Oh, I always make you like a locked person on the top, but then it's like, it's harder to see when they text you.
Yeah. Like I want to see what you say. So I know what mindset to get into. Agreed. Yeah. Also join our Patreon, patreon.com/Vanderpasta. Let me tell you what you can get really quick. For $1 a month, you get access to our pre-shows where Meredith and I catch up about whatever the hell we want.
It was a good one today. This is really worth buying the whole month for.
And, you also get access to any episodes we record early. So for live shows, you get the episode at least 12 hours in advance. Mm-hmm. For when we go back and do old seasons, you get them months, maybe a year in advance. We don't know. So just go check it out. For $2 a month, you get access to everything I just mentioned. Plus you get access to our after shows that we do when we go back and do old seasons of the shows. Also, we will say your name on the podcast. So thank you to Kristen A, Dustin, Gina, Jackie, Kelsey, Kristen, Mariah, Tracy, and Zoe.
What a good woo! Group. Woo.
We love you all.
Off the charts with your woos.
I'm so sorry. I have a really high-pitched voice, I think. I don't know. I can actually hear my own voice. But then for the mere price of $5 a month, you get access to everything I just mentioned, plus for live seasons, which is now. We have a live Vanderpump season and a live winter house season. We'll ask for your opinions. Give us your thoughts. Give us your questions. Give us your opinions. We will read them. We will comment on them. We might even respond back on Patreon if we're that upset by it or agree that much. Also, we will pick a patron of the episode. So this week, we are going to pick the one man who never fails to comment and like every episode. He is Meredith's dad, her flesh and blood, Chris.
Chris, an outstanding stand-up. Listens to every episode too, even though he doesn't watch these shows. Like Chris.
So he's not a fan of the shows. He's a fan of us. I mean, he's a fan of Meredith.
And you can,
I think he would like me if we met.
Yeah, 100%. And listen, his questions aren't always even Vanderpump or Summer House related. So you can ask any question or comment anything.
I love it. Meredith's more of like, we're not talking about Chris's question, but I love it. I think they're so great. Keep them coming, Chris. You're a star. Okay. Well, with that, let us get into the episode. Oh no, wait, first we gotta mix it up. Meredith.
I am drinking some beers that I saved from my beach trip this weekend. So, oh, this is tricky. I should have prepped this. Why is this one so hard? You got it.
Oh, no. Kristen. Did we got good? It. That was good.
Got it.
Kristen, teach Meredith how to properly open a beer.
I'm sorry, my nail got in the way and then I started freaking out. Do you ever have that where you're like, I don't want to crack a nail over this.
You don't want to bend your nail.
So dumb, but it hurts.
No, and when you crack a nail, sometimes it cracks below the skin and that shit really hurts. Yes. So I get it. Okay, now we can get into the episode.
I'm excited because we're getting more Charlie and like, I'm really enjoying her.
I love her. She's fantastic. Okay, so previously on Vanderpump Rules, Lala and Charlie went head to head and we found out about Charlie's trauma with food. James has a temper. That was my accent. Wow. James has a temper and he bumped Raquel's nose when he was going to kiss her and she's got to tell the doctor. The Toms need to get Greg a mission statement, whoever the fuck Greg is.
I still am confused by this, sir, but whatever. Put your mission statement together.
Lala outed Brock for having a domestic violence charge against him, and Lala is exhausted by Sheena. And last we saw the group, Sandoval was yelling at Lala, and Lala was yelling at Sandoval, and then she stormed out crying, and Lisa was stopping her, but I don't think she went back.
I don't think so either.
We open up. The Toms and Brock and James are playing basketball. It is Tom Tom versus the boys.
I love it.
You can put the teams together how you wish. It is James and Brock. Those are the boys. I think they should have been the accents, but.
Oh, the foreigners. the welcome to America party.
The American, what, remember American Boys Night? My favorite boys night ever.
The best boys night ever.
Some highlights from the game. Brock injured Schwartz because he stood there and Schwartz ran into him and he
tell me dialed. You're short. Like, tell me something that Schwartz. Is more Schwartz.
Tell me you're Schwartz without telling me you're Schwartz. This. but the boys end up winning. And you know, basketball is really good for clearing your head. Schwartz didn't have to think about any drama, but we ask, how's the bar going? This Friday, the Toms are going to finalize their plans.
Yes.
They're going to get together, have a late night chill fest to bang it all out.
We got this.
James asked what he missed at the drink tasting. And, you know, it got a little hectic. We flashed to Lala and Sandoval arguing. And Sandoval says, you know, Lala goes after people, but no one's allowed to say anything about her. And throughout the years, everyone's heard rumors about Randall. No one's just brought it up.
Which I don't think it goes to that far that like nobody's been able to bring it up because not to jump ahead, but like we do see flashbacks of like Lala has gotten it over the years. Like people do comment on her stuff, but the difference is like she shuts them down or attacks them so harshly for it.
Yeah, but then when someone tries to shut her down or attack her, she gets upset.
Yes, so there is and like, says she's being attacked.
Yeah, so Sandoval's point is that it's a little hypocritical of Lala.
Yes.
We find out James is doing See You Next Tuesday at Sir.
I'm hyped.
I'm excited. He's going to invite the whole crew, but Sandoval has to have a constructive criticism or a constructive conversation with Lala there, so it's not awkward.
We can't let this go on. The more time and space you put in between this, the worse it'll get.
Yes. So then we go out to eat with Charlie and Ariana. Charlie's working at Sir because she's got to make some money before she moves in. Some background. Mm-hmm. She got a place with her boyfriend, Corey, who's a fucking handsome dude. Let me tell you, this
love
man,
him. And I love that he seems like in on this show. We get a lot of him.
Yeah. Charlie makes a joke of like, Corey's really handsome, obviously, who didn't sleep with him. And I'm sitting here like, damn, I wish I did before you started dating Charlie.
I love how she takes that though. She's like,
That's how people should take it when they're dating someone attractive. Like, damn, everyone wants a piece of him, but he's mine. But Charlie then talks about how she's having a better relationship with food because she's really been working on it, which I think is great.
Yeah, she even tried some of Ariana's, like whatever food she had.
The
beignets, I think.
But for 17 years, Charlie ate the same food, pizza, PB&J, and quesadillas. But then she met Corey and Corey was like, no, thank you. We're eating other food.
Yeah.
But this shows how severe like her eating disorder really was. Cause this is a fear of food.
She did not open up about it her first season, which was season 8. All she did was talk about foods that were very popular that she didn't eat. So she seemed very weird for not ever having tried those things. But now that she expresses that she's only eaten like 4 foods her whole life, that makes a lot more sense. I still don't get the avocado thing, because if you're eating quesadillas, they're typically served with avocados,
I didn't eat avocados for a really long time. I also had growing up, I was just picky, but I would eat 4 or 5 things. Like I was until maybe college.
That's my friend from college did like the same thing. She did like chicken fingers, very simple things.
Yeah. College. It was like, I'm too poor to eat how I want. So I just got to like struggle meal it. So yeah, but I don't have like a traumatizing relationship. I was just picky.
Yeah.
But I get this. Food is scary sometimes. Now I eat anything.
Interesting. See, psychotic. I grew up the complete opposite. Is like we had all this different stuff. We always ate different foods. No, it was like never really the same. The only things I really didn't eat, my mom wouldn't make you another meal. Like you either ate what was on the table. Yeah, same.
I had to starve most of the time. I think my thing was when I didn't like a food, that to me was traumatizing to like put it in my mouth and not like it. Mm-hmm. So then I was just scared. So I wouldn't try foods because I was scared if I didn't like it, I would have that same reaction.
Interesting. But then
like I tried guacamole, I think in college, and I was like, dope, this shit's great. What have I been missing my whole life? I'm a psychopath.
I love the bond that like Ariana and Charlie seem to be having. Charlie says that she can really lean on Ariana, and Ariana says everyone's messed up in this group. You might as well just like dive into your like trauma. And Ariana's the perfect like lightning rod for this stuff. Like she's very open and honest about hers. And I feel like she gets people to be open and honest in such a natural way.
Yeah. I love this friendship. Like I am standing these two as friends.
Me too.
Ariana's obviously a queen. And so is Charlie in her own
right. I feel like Charlie's the perfect amount of Sheena that we do love, but I do think that Charlie seems to give Ariana a little bit more than Sheena does.
Yeah, 1,000%. Sheena's very much obsessed with herself,
yeah,
which we love because Sheena owns it, but
she's exactly who we need her to be.
But Charlie actually to again, push herself. She wants to have a tapas style culinary night where everyone brings food and you try it all.
I think this is a genius idea.
That's great. Amazing.
Because then you're not at a restaurant. You're not pressured to like eat the whole meal and and pay for it. Or like whenever a waiter comes over and it's like, how was the food? It's like, I'm just going to have little bites of all of these. And then whatever I like, I can eat more of.
Yeah, this is great. It's like a potluck. Yeah. So now we go to Villa Rosa. Raquel shows up as Lisa's brushing her dogs. My sweet baby angel says tea would be lovely. Just the way she said it. I'm sorry. I harp on how much I love Raquel too much, but I'm obsessed.
I love her so much. Also, Lisa talking about Raquel's great starter diamond.
Starter diamond. The fuck is a starter diamond?
Which, okay. You know what? I'm into this.
I'm so fucking poor. The fuck is a starter diamond?
I guess it's just like the first ring you can afford. Like my mom just upgraded her ring and like got a nicer ring now that she can like afford a better one. Yeah.
My mom said
it's becoming more common because my like family friend's mom did it. She even upgraded that, like her upgrade. She even added like 2 more stones to it.
Holy shit. My mom's had the same ring my dad gave her when she was 24. You think some 24-year-old, my dad at 24 was buying anything special?
Which,
no offense, my the ring's lovely.
Chris can fact check me, but I'm pretty sure, she like got a new one for her 25th anniversary. She made him pay for it, though.
Yeah, fucking Chris, get on that. Yeah. Damn. Well, yeah, starter diamond. Lisa had a starter diamond and now she's got a goddamn boulder on her finger.
I mean, the way they were making that sparkle, I was like, I just want to see the ring. Like, what's the upgraded like ring?
Yeah.
Stop sparkling all over it. I need to check it out. What I'm going to aspire to have as my second diamond.
Yeah. So Lisa and Raquel are going to sit down and talk about her nose job because Lisa actually called her plastic surgeon friend who just happens to be fucking Paul, Adrian Maloof's ex-husband from Beverly Hills.
And he has his own show with Terry from like another housewife husband.
Paul Nassif, star of the show Botched.
Yeah. Oh, my friend who's a plastic surgeon.
Yeah. So for those who don't know Paul, he is a plastic surgeon. He's been for years. He does like Beverly Hills style surgeries. So he does it all. He knows how to be vain.
I'm pretty sure he's known for like the nose in certain areas. And then Terry, who does Botched as well, is known for like the other parts of plastic surgery too.
I just cracked up because listen, I haven't seen Paul in a while. Paul used to be kind of fugly season one of Beverly Hills, but he looks okay now. And it always made me laugh that this plastic surgeon was kind of fugly.
It's like, funny because his wife, his ex-wife now, owned like the Lakers, right? Or like a team and like all this Knicks stuff. It's like he was the like lower tiered one.
Yeah. And he was like he was like doing Botox to Kyle Richards and Lisa Vanderpump. So
yeah, he's really upgraded since they've left the Real Housewives franchise. But now he's remarried, has a new baby, like has a whole like skincare something line or something. I'm pretty sure it's sold at Costco. So go Paul.
But so we find out Raquel paid $16,000 for her nose that James fucked up.
I have never had plastic surgery. I don't aspire to have plastic surgery at all, but like you do you, I'm all for it if you want it. But like, is this a normal price?
$16,000 seems really intense.
Yeah. Especially like for a botched job.
That sounds crazy. Listen, if anything on my body is worth $16,000, no one's coming near my nose.
Dude, who needs a starter diamond? No, who needs a starter diamond when you can just put that $16,000 into the good diamond?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Give me that new nose. But Paul is actually double that. So my jaw dropped. It doesn't shock me that Paul is worth this much. It shocks me that Raquel's thinking about paying this much.
Basically all in $46,000.
That's insane. So Raquel's sitting down with Lisa and she really wants to be honest about what really happened to her crooked nose, because no one knows right now that James crashed into it while he was trying to kiss
her. And Lisa talked with Paul. So it's like, I have to tell her the truth now.
Yes. So Raquel has a slight panic attack, but she's then
like freaking out.
I know. But then tells Lisa that James bumped her nose 1 week after she got the cast up, which I think would be more pain than anything.
Oh, yeah. Right? And Lisa immediately is like, has anyone hit you? And I was
my God, I know.
I never even thought about that.
I did. That's why she was nervous. I knew. That's why James didn't want it out.
Really?
He got angry and he hit her. That was it. I knew when they were at the park last episode, and he's like, don't tell anyone. I knew that's what he thought. I'm surprised then I'd say that. That's okay.
Maybe he did, but like, I just still don't think, I think people think he's just reckless and he's an idiot.
Which is like handle
her with care. Not like 100% trying to hurt her, but still like, why are you trying to kiss your girlfriend at the time who just had no surgery? Like, leave her alone.
Also, why are you trying to kiss her that aggressively? Like, even Lisa was like, who the fuck? I've been married for how long? I barely
want to kiss you. Just no one's kissed me like that. Touch me, especially if I just had surgery.
But Raquel says no one has hit, James has never hit her. This was in front of James's family too. So they are like witnesses that hit her.
They can be a witness. And I was like,
But Raquel knows that Lisa thinks that he might have hit her because of his reputation of blowing up at people. And we see a few flashes to this. They are not funny, but it's something about a man with a British accent going crazy over nothing that makes me laugh.
James doing it. Yeah. Like, ridiculous. To add another thing to it, whenever the bump happened, his mom pointed out that like her nose might like kind of look different, and James freaked out at her.
Freaked out on the mom. Yeah. Because he felt so guilty that so he took his anger out. But he's just got to stop being angry, is our point.
Oh yeah.
So Lisa feels really bad because now Paul, star of Beverly Hills and Botched, doesn't know this. And she basically lied to her friend. And James didn't want this to be a big deal. But Lisa's now like, it is a big deal. So stop using, Raquel's got to stop protecting James, basically. Yeah.
stop lying in every situation to protect him, no matter what it is. Like,
yeah,
you made me look dumb by now telling this fake story. So now we have to unravel this web of lies.
Side note, Lisa Vanderpump and Paul's ex, Adrian, aren't friends, right?
I don't think so.
I feel like this little shit.
I feel like a lot of them aren't friends with her. Actually, Kyle is, because Adrian was at a party Kyle threw last season.
Damn. Well, Adrian never really liked Lisa.
I actually think both Paul and Adrian were there. I think they get along.
Oh, maybe then they're fine. I mean, they have boys, like a bunch of kids together, so they should.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're at Tom and Katie's house. It's just Katie, but then Lalo shows up and she compliments the door. So then Katie lets us know that a few days ago, she was really annoyed because Schwartz was hanging out with Sandoval. So she jammed the door shut. This is
so good.
So then when Schwartz got home, he busted down the door like the Kool-Aid man, which I'm surprised Schwartz had this kind of strength within him, to be honest.
I know. I mean, I get this. I feel like I would lock him out. Schwartz would
call the police instead and be like, can you get me in?
No, I wouldn't do that. But like, come on, like knock a little, like try and get her up, like try and get her to unlock the door. Also, like, why don't you have a garage opener?
Yeah. Yeah, you should never just go through the front door. That's danger. So you get murdered, you guys. Were you not alive during the 80s? We weren't. We watch enough documentaries to know. But so Lala's here. Let's talk about last night. Lala says that Sandoval was being a bully by how he was treating her. Everyone on Bravo loves the term bully. Ugh. It's like the most offensive term in the world. We all use it.
It's such a buzzword. And like, listen, there are a lot of bullies on Bravo.
Yeah.
But a lot of times the people called bullies aren't being bullies.
It's the bullies that call others bullies.
Yes.
A lot. Listen, but this is for some, listen.
It's the last card to throw out to like save your reputation and like be the victim.
I think Meredith and I have talked about this. If someone called us a bully, we'd obviously be upset.
I think I like, would start laughing if I'm honest.
Yeah. People at Bravo get like super fucked up about it, about like being called this word. So Lala knows what she's doing, being like, he's a bully.
Can you imagine if anyone on the cast called Lala a bully, what she would do?
She would go nuts. Yeah. So then Ariana's here as they're talking about.
I was shocked when Ariana walked in.
Yeah. So she walks in. Where, you know, we ditched Sandoval because he's busy with Schwartz at his house. He's
setting up a light show.
Yeah. It's basically an acid trip at grandma's. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. I guess they're trying to get into the vibe, you know?
Yeah. So back to Tom and Katie's. We're doing girls night first. We got wine. We're getting cozy on the couch with an expensive candle, which really threw me off because candles don't have to be expensive.
And they're like seven lit that I was like, which one are we talking about?
The like, expensive one.
Pointing it out.
Just go to Bath and Body Works.
I'm rich, $7. Bitch.
So Lala's like, let's talk about last night. And Ariana's basically like, I don't really know what happened. Why? Because Ariana was chugging her wine like a normal person.
She was like, I tuned out. There was yelling. So I just stopped caring.
She really was. She was looking straight ahead at nothing, chugging her wine down, which is my vibe. She was like, my vibe. So Lala said that Sandoval was the one that started the yelling. And Ariana's like, yeah, but at least Sandoval is like an equal opportunity yeller. Like he'll yell at girls, boys, which, dogs.
I do agree. I just don't think there are a lot of scenarios where Tom gets in yelling matches with guys because Tom inserts himself in a lot of scenarios with the girls.
It's usually just Jax that he's gotten in yelling fights
Yes.
Which is fine because Jax yells back just like Lala. But yeah,
I do believe he just yells at everyone. He inserts himself into situations with the girls.
It's his passion. I know.
Yeah.
So Lala then says that Sandoval attacks women verbally, which
it is
true. It is true, but also I don't love because he
pinning him with like a tag.
Yeah. Attack. And like, again, you're just like, hitting him with that bully and attack. And again, Bravo buzzwords.
I agree. I think she's going too far because I do agree with Ariana. He is an equal opportunity yeller.
Mm-hmm. Also, Sandoval's not even here. Ariana doesn't care. Ariana's
that's a like, thing.
Shut up.
You know how people like keep telling Raquel to stop fighting James's battles? In this moment, I was like, why is Ariana being like put to the fire for Sandoval's things when she typically is the one to also stand up to him or like be like, yeah, he shouldn't have done that. Which she did say, like he really shouldn't have yelled, but like he is an equal opportunity yeller. Like he doesn't just yell at women.
Yeah, don't sit here and say he verbally attacks women only. Like
just women. That's what anyone. And that's what Lala's making the conversation is just
is that like he's like verbally abusive to women, which is not true.
I don't like that he just immediately starts yelling because he did this both with Lala and with Katie.
Yeah.
This is something he needs to work on.
It is. He's just it's his passion.
I agree, but he just takes it to another level that is kind of it's a nasty yelling. It's not like a you're not hearing me. It's like kind of a bark more than like a you know, like a dog, like attack, kind of a dog attacking in a way.
I mean, Lala is a self-described pit bull. So. Yes,
Lala does the same. So like her playing victim here is annoying.
Either way, I think Ariana really started this conversation as like, oh, I was busy chugging my wine because she didn't want to talk about it.
She's like, yeah, I'm not.
Lala involved. Keeps going. So Ariana basically says, you know what? Like when you see Tom, he'll be cordial no matter what. Like he's not going to yell at you.
Don't be scared. Yeah.
And then Lala takes this as, oh, he's going to be fake and butter me up. And then he's going to kill me, basically.
You can't win with
like,
Lala.
No. Like, Ariana literally is like, that's not what I said, dummy. Stop.
I said he would be cordial and he wouldn't yell at you at this event.
I hate when people mistake cordial for fake.
Me too.
It's different. Fake is if I were to hate you, but I walk up to you and I'm like, oh my God, Meredith, I love you.
So cordial. Great to see you. Yeah. Cordial is hey, how have you been? Meredith. Yeah. Greeting like, you.
Glad you're here.
But not like sitting down and having a conversation with you and like, just to like blow smoke up your ass for no reason.
Yeah. So this is when Lala says she doesn't want Ariana in the middle, even though she's kind of putting Ariana the middle. But Lala's just going to have a separate discussion with Sandoval. And
it's great. Ariana
probably called the producers after this and said, is there anyone else I can film a scene with? Because they obviously can't go home because the boys are busy. Let's talk about it. So Schwartz shows up to Sandoval's house with a vision board.
Yes.
This particular light show with vision board is actually a business meeting disguised as a hang sesh. I think they're not going to do business, but actually it's all about
we're going to make it fun in business, just like Alicia and I's cocktail happy hours with our old work.
Yes, this is fun, but business.
Which means no business gets done, all cocktails.
All party. So obviously we need a mission statement as Greg has instructed.
Yeah.
First, we're going to come up with the first objective after we get some tea. So first we do that. And actually, we're also going to take some shrooms.
Yes. Let's just get into creative juices flowing.
I don't know about you, but I think workers would be more productive if we were all on shrooms.
I'm good without. I feel like my productivity levels are top notch these days, but let's see how this plays out. I mean, we got to get a lot done. So like, I'm sure we're going to get it done.
Listen, I need a whole show of these two on shrooms trying to do business.
This cut was the single
funniest thing. They got clearly nothing wrong at one point or nothing done. Talking about unicorns eating whipped cream out of some crazy contraption. Schwartz couldn't finish a sentence and
there was like Sandoval dancing. Didn't mind
that. You know, they were in robes, they were wearing glasses. Like weird sunglasses. Listen,
there was a lot of whipped cream being sprayed multiple times.
These two men, all they came up was the vibe is future retro, like a dive bar. That was it.
Those are contradictory. I feel like
future dive lounge. Oh, it's a dive
retro, lounge. Like a dive lounge.
Dive lounge.
Future retro though. I feel like dives are like retro, actual retro.
Yeah, I don't know what they were saying. My favorite was when Schwartz was like, wait, I forgot what I was saying. And Sandoval goes, exactly. And Schwartz is like, no, wait, I actually thought I had something to say.
No, my favorite is Schwartz crossing things off like, yep, did that. And I was like, they don't have like notes. And I was like, they're not going to remember any of this tomorrow.
They did not.
They're going to be like, hey, Bravo, can we get those tapes? Because now that we're sober, we know nothing.
Do you think Bravo just like left a few cameras for the Toms to like be in front of?
That because one they danced one point, in front of. Yeah.
If I'm a Bravo exec, I'd be like, don't break this. Or a Bravo cameraman, I'd be like, I'm going to the bathroom, but this is going to keep playing.
Like and Summer House really... it, just put the cameras in the corners.
Yeah, they seemed fine. Maybe. Also, Tom Schwartz, I'm pretty sure, isn't supposed to be doing drugs.
Okay, you posted a tweet about that. That tweet
is so funny.
Yes, but the doctor literally told him to stop doing this shit.
Stop doing shrooms. So Katie's never having a baby because Tom's sperm still have two heads.
If he can't even cut out the shrooms, which he said would be the easiest to cut out, I highly doubt those baths were ever cut
out.
What
about the baths?
The steaming hot baths.
So, best. So now we go to Charlie's apartment. We are unpacking with her hot boyfriend, Corey. Corey ripped his pants. But Sheena and Brock are here to help. And you know what Charlie and Corey need more than anything is they need their TV hung, and we need a dude to do it in under 7 minutes. You know, and luckily,
we got that guy.
Brock is here. But really quick, Sheena does go through her list of men she has dated. 7 minute man, Rob, John Mayer, which we knew about. Jesse Metcalf, which I don't think we talked about, but I texted you about.
Okay, I think we did talk about it on the pre-show of Winter House or something. At some point, maybe. We talked about it.
Listen, I watched Watch What Happens Live, and Sheena said that she did date Jesse Metcalf, which shook me. And this is where Brock finds out, because he's like, wait, I played poker with that dude.
I love that reaction, mostly because they had that discussion on Watch What Happens Live, but the filming of them were obviously in the inverse order, that like watching Brock sit there and be like, wait a minute, I just played poker with that guy.
Yeah. Sheena's dated some hot ass dudes.
She's a good list. I did listen to the Watch What Happens Live podcast version, and it was top notch.
Yeah, because she dated Eddie too, mm-hmm. Brandy's old husband. When he's
Andy Cohen was like, damn, you got a good list. And then he was like, I'm sorry, Brock.
No, but like that Brock even took it in stride. He's like, that's mm-hmm. good. That speaks on Sheena and how great she is.
And he was like, I have a list too. They're just not famous.
Yeah, no. They gotta be famous. Sheena's the best. So we're gonna time Brock hanging this TV.
Mm-hmm.
But Sheena's confident because Brock can do a bunch under 7 seconds. Like they made a baby in under 7 minutes. Sorry. They made a baby in under 7 minutes.
Like Sheena. Which
it was a slight turn of Brock's head going, what? Like he was like, wait.
Why are we talking about this?
But Brock did it. He hung the TV in 5 minutes and 39 seconds.
I mean, crushed it.
Impressive. He got Rob beat. Although Sheena never said what the time was. She just said it was under 7 minutes.
I think she said in 7 minutes.
Oh,
is it? Who knows? But still, I mean, clearly it's not that difficult. I don't want to do this because this would stress me out. And then can we talk about this tweet?
Oh my God. The Charlie one.
Yeah. Charlie said that. Charlie shared a picture.
This was my funniest tweet. It was a story in four parts. So Charlie tweeted a picture of the TV and says, update, the TV Brock hung. It literally fell at 4 a.m. and we thought someone was breaking in.
That would fucking terrify me.
So then Sheena tweeted and said, and you know, or you knew y'all didn't have the proper tools or anchors for him to do it that day. He got it up quickly and did all the steps for the vlog. It was never secure. And then Charlie responded and said, oh God, Sheena, it's a joke. Did you sit all night mad about this? We did, but legit, it funny. Not that deep, boo. And then Sheena said, I don't do Twitter fights with my friends. Only state facts. Check your texts.
I cannot. So okay. Here's my thing though. If everybody in this group knew that this TV was not secure, it is on all four parties to fucking take it down after the vlog.
It's on. Why did Charlie and Corey leave it up overnight? Fucking take it down. Now
idiots, I want to see what the TV looks like. That thing is probably destroyed after falling.
That's on you, boo. Yeah. Like, come on. But it was a funny tweet where it was like it fell.
I love that. And I think it was a joke in Charlie's tweet, by the way.
I do too. So Sheena and Charlie are actually really good friends because during COVID, when Sheena was in San Diego, Charlie and Corey moved right next door.
Which, I did not know that.
I didn't either, but I like it because Charlie's like a mix of Ariana and Sheena, but like the perfect amount of both.
Yes. And like, and it shows that she's like actually integrated in this friend group. This isn't just like, we hired this girl to be on this reality TV show, so now we hang out with her. Like, they actually all became friends over COVID.
So Charlie invites Sheena and Brock to the culinary party and says that she invited everyone except Lala because like Charlie's trying to try new foods and it's a very scary time for her and she wants people to support her on her quest to get blacked out and taste food. And she doesn't feel like Lala would be that, mostly because of what happened last time when Lala kind of shamed her for her food eating.
Yeah.
Even though Lala didn't know that Charlie had this trauma.
And like Lala has said a lot on Twitter, I believe, and then had that moment. And it didn't seem like she really rectified it well enough to move past it with Charlie. I think like they don't have issues, but that doesn't mean like we're good on this topic.
Yeah. It doesn't mean I'm going to invite you to when like, I Lala have to didn't face show, my trauma.
Lala apologized for being like harsh to judge, it seems like, but didn't like, wasn't supportive then. Yes. So, and that's what Charlie needs in this moment.
Okay. And Brock's okay with not having Lala there. Oh, yeah. He's still angry.
It's like, she's the bad apple. We can leave her off the list. I'm good.
That's fine. So, we're at Dr. Nassif's office. I'm just going to call him Paul because that's how I know him. So James and Raquel are here. They're both kind of nervous, specifically James, because Lisa's going to find out that he kissed Raquel way too hard and see you next Tuesday is tonight. And he doesn't want to be blamed or have that taken away from him.
Yikes.
Which I don't think this would be taken away. Like, he didn't do anything to Max and or angry at Sir.
I know, but like it kind of shows the like him yelling at his mom kind of shows he hasn't changed.
That's true. Okay, but Lisa's here and Lisa's basically like, how the hell did you kiss Raquel that hard? Ken's never done that to me. But she wants to make sure that this is the truth, right? We're not lying about the kiss thing. We didn't actually hit Raquel.
This is, listen, beside that other lie, this is now the truth. Confirm that with me.
So again, Lisa's basically like, James, control your temper. And Raquel goes back to get some pictures of her nose done. And this is where her fucking nostrils, those are fucked up.
Oh,
that's when I noticed her crooked nose. I was like, ooh. Her, if you didn't watch it, I don't know why you're listening to this, but her nostrils were not the same size or.
Yeah. And like the zigzag with the middle cartilage thing.
That was fucked.
Like I don't think we got a good enough angles and like stuff on TV versus real life is slightly different. Like with lighting and everything that. Like seeing those photos, I was like, shit, I see now why she wants to get this fixed. And I would pay $30,000 to get this fixed by the best because it's already fucked up. You don't want to like fuck it up more.
I guess this is if we ever decide to get plastic surgery, we should just go to the best straight up. Paul. Yeah. So we go meet with Paul now. And Raquel tells Paul what really happened with her nose. And so Paul is like, let me take a look at your nose. So again, we see Raquel's super fucked up nostrils. And so Paul basically says he can fix it. What he would have to do was add a little cartilage, which we would get from right below the boobs. We would do a quick incision, take out some fat and then like add it. Yeah. Which James is not happy about because now Raquel's going to have fucked up boobs or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, she's going to have a scar and a fucked up nose.
Who here? Does Raquel not have any other scars? I got bit by a dog. I got a scar in my hand.
Dude, I walked into a camping grill and have a scar on my ankle.
Yeah, I got scars everywhere. I am like nothing if not imperfect. But this man just cannot let Raquel get what needs to be done for her to be like, happy.
Can't you prioritize? Wouldn't you rather for her nose? And like selfishly for yourself, have her outward appearance be the best and then have one scar on her rib? Like, it's not going to be massive.
No one's going to notice.
And then a little, like there's that cream that gets rid of scars. Like it can get a little bit better.
Also, you think Paul hasn't done this before to some expensive Hollywood lady.
Like, plastic surgeons do the best stitching because they don't want scars. So, like, she'll be fine.
They fucking know what to do. So.
And way to put yourself as the prop. Like, your feelings present more than Raquel's.
Exactly. So, Paul does say, though, that a kiss probably didn't do this damage to the nose. It was probably a bad botched job, if you will, from the previous.
Based on I think he said the way the cartilage is collapsing, the kiss couldn't have done that.
Yes. So that's great. James is nothing but happy. And Paul says he feels good about giving Raquel a better result and he would operate in about a month. So Raquel's got a lot to think about. 30 grand worth of decisions right here.
I mean, stressful. He just can't operate for another month. So she can do it at any time. But what a big decision again. Do you go under the knife again and chance it? Do you spend all that money? XYZ.
Okay. So now we're at Sir. James is getting set up to do his see you next Tuesday, which is so freaking exciting. Everyone's going to come. Charlie's there working. Raquel is working. We're all fucking ready. Okay. So then James does see you next Tuesday. Everyone's there. Is Charlie even working anymore? But it's fine. After some sets, Ariana, Katie, and Sandoval sit down with Lisa and they discuss mushroom tea, which Lisa doesn't need, but maybe she wouldn't be opposed. She had no way would be opposed.
Could you imagine Lisa at that planning meeting?
She would have been horrified. Absolutely, she would have left. Sheena and Brock sit down. It's weird for Sheena to be here not working, but there's the bar that she stood and danced on. And we get a flash of our favorite Sheena Shea song.
What is funny is the first time she performed Good as Gold on the bar, I'm pretty sure it was her engagement party to Shea.
It was. Yep. She's remember, she's I have a surprise. And that was when everyone's Sheena's going to fail. And then she didn't. And everyone was bopping around. And so were we the second time we watched it. But the first time you're horrified that this is a real song.
I love that Sheena's the memes of singing Good as Gold on this bar.
So funny. And I straight up love that Sheena's not embarrassed about it. She's that's where I gave my performance. She's so
proud as fuck.
So Lisa sits with Randall and Lala now. And Lisa basically says the last time they were together, it was a little intense. Mm-hmm. Randall wasn't there. He apologizes for missing it, but obviously it was crazy. So he's kind of glad.
Yes.
So instead, Lisa invites them both over for drinks and apps tomorrow.
Yeah. Fun. Which conveniently works out because Charlie's party's tomorrow.
Oh, great. So Lala and Sandoval haven't talked yet. Lala knows she doesn't want an audience and she lets Lisa and Randall know she doesn't want an audience because that's when Sandoval wants to measure dicks and hers is bigger.
These are the statements where I'm Lala, you're the one making this a competition.
I hate the term measure dicks because there's nothing to me less manly than sitting around measuring each other's dicks.
1000% agree.
They're I don't want that. So I only say that because fun fact, my ex-boyfriend and all his friends from high school.
Stop.
I think they measured their dicks together.
With each other.
I just know because one day my ex was want to know a fun fact and told me he had the smallest one. And I was why do you know this? And he was just it's funny. And I was wait, so now
say that unless he knew for sure.
Listen, he told me the biggest and the smallest. He goes, I'm average, but I didn't want to ask any further questions because I did not want to know what happened because we would have broke up then and there. And I was just trying to make it through summer. So, so there's nothing weird. Very late. Anyway,
I agree.
So James still killing it. He actually dedicates a song to Katie. Full circle. He goes, Katie, besties. This one's for you. And she put this up. I want this friendship. I want them to go out to lunch.
You know,
I want
what? Them to the mall. I think they both know they're never going to be like BFFs, but like they're doing great in the same room with a casual friendship out of convenience.
Never forget last season when he accidentally punched her in the boob. It was amazing. They're like kind of friends. Anyway, Charlie brings Katie, Ariana, and Sandoval some shots, and it's a thank you for letting Charlie have her party at Ariana and Sandoval's. And we get a flash to how Charlie implied that Ariana should do this.
I love when people pull this shit. I just don't think everybody can fit in my apartment.
Yeah, and Ariana's sitting there and she goes, should we have it at mine?
Do you want me to host? That would be great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, Charlie's smile was like, immediately yes. Was like, yeah,
thank you.
She, you know, listen, I love watching people do this. I don't accept this. Like,
if I could Ariana, never.
I would have been like, oh, yes.
I could never be Ariana and I could never be Charlie. Like, I can't imagine looking at someone and being like, it's going to be a real tight fit in my apartment. And I think the person would just sit there and be like, I think it will be.
My
just
brother,
leave it there.
My brother pulls this shit. He'll be like, oh, I'm so thirsty. And we'll all look at him and be like, okay, sorry. Like, he'll just be like, oh,
it's a bummer.
So yeah, none of this shit, but it's funny. So Charlie lets Katie know, you know, it's a potluck kind of thing. Bring your own food.
We'll have tequila and Katie is in.
She's in. So as we're talking, these two hands come around to Sandoval's, like, not neck, but also like end of chin. And you could strangle if you wanted to, but instead it was maybe sensual. I don't know. I took it as.
I love when Ariana like makes this comment. She's like, that was very sensual.
Yeah.
It's but like Lala. Is not jealous.
Yeah. It's Lala. She just brings her hands around Sandoval's neck and goes, can we talk? Which I would be scared shitless if someone did this to me. I would have swung if I was Sandoval, but he held it in for one time. So they go talk. Lala's basically like, how do we work this out? Lala doesn't want to say she, like, Sandoval owes her an apology, but he might. Like. And so Sandoval just shares his frustrations on Lala. Like, Lala set these boundaries for her life, which he respects, but he doesn't understand why Lala doesn't do the same for others.
And yeah, she has a double standard with her boundaries versus other people's boundaries.
And this is when Lala says, are you kidding me? I was labeled a homewrecking whore. Which is true, but it wasn't by Sandoval, Ariana, or Sheena. It was by Katie, Jackson, James.
Yes.
And others, but those were the three we saw.
Yes, which is why I said earlier, like, she does get comments.
Yes.
Which the way she attacks people for those comments is different than how she's handling this situation with Sheena.
Yeah, and I don't love that, like, she, because Ariana has had issues with Tom, or not Ariana, Lala has had issues with Tom and Ariana and Sheena, as we've seen in previous seasons. Mm-hmm. So it makes me sad that these were like the three people that didn't do anything to Lala when she first showed up and everyone else did. And I understand people change and like you can become friends with your enemies and that's fine. But like, it just makes me sad. That's where I was like,
and yeah, at the same time, people. Lala is resting against this like pillar of I'm doing it because I love you. I'm worried for you. I'm your friend.
Yeah. So, So Lala says that she was judged and Sandoval did say he was the one that stood up against that.
Yep.
And then Lala shares that she feels like she's held to a higher standard. Like she doesn't feel like she belongs and everyone isolates her, to which Sandoval says she does that to herself.
Which I think she does. She puts herself on a pedestal and says she's basically better than everyone else. And
I don't know. For those of you who do watch Beverly Hills, she's kind of like an Erica Jane, where you like ask her a question. And if she doesn't like that question, she fucking murders you verbally. So then you don't want her around because she might kill you.
Yeah. Yes. You don't want to be that close to her. You don't want to ask her questions. You don't want to interact with her at all. So you just like coexist in areas rather than be friends. So then like, in a sense, that person, Erica and Lala, are isolating themselves because of their behavior. They're like pushing people away from them.
Yeah. So, whatever. She does kind of do it herself, but she's finally expressed this to Sandoval. So Sandoval says he understands where she's coming from, and Lala says they're all going to do better.
Yes.
And Sandoval's like, sure.
Like, he is happy to give forgiveness. I think she's happy to give forgiveness. Let's move on from this. Let's
move on.
But my problem is we're treating symptoms instead of the actual problem.
Yeah. But I think people are scared, though, to say, hey, Lala, like, there is this double standard. You fucking, I don't want to be close to you because you scared the fuck out of me. Yeah, and what's
frustrating is, like, this is definitely the, like, type of talk you need to have at a reunion to point out a pattern of behavior with things. And I feel like Andy's kind of losing his edge with reunions a little bit about, like, truly pointing out people's problems, not just, like, something that happened this season.
I know, which makes me sad, but it's fine. Okay, so now we're at Tom and Ariana's house. We're setting up for Charlie's potluck. Tom wants lights. Ariana thinks it'd be really cool if they had people over one time and there were no lights. But this is
the battle between an extravagant human and their normal
partner. A very normal person. So Charlie and Corey are here. I don't know what they brought, but Ariana and Tom Sandoval have sushi, which, fun fact, I didn't actually eat sushi, or I've tried sushi one time before I moved to New York. I didn't like it, so I avoided sushi, and now I really like
sushi. But there's so many different kinds.
I didn't know that. No one had ever given me sushi, and my parents aren't very, like...
I hadn't had it until college, because I didn't like fish growing up. It's like a texture thing for me, and I still don't like some fish.
Yeah.
But uncooked fish texture is so different. I just even had poke today.
That's what freaks me out, because I really like cooked fish.
Mm.
So sushi also freaked me out. So I tried a California roll because there's no fish and I didn't like it.
Yes.
Okay. So my ass just didn't like sushi. But then in New York, a new girl I met was like, let's go get sushi. So I wasn't going to be like, oh, I'm lame and I don't like sushi. So I went and I was like, I'm going to choke it down. It was actually really fucking good. So,
was like setting up a date with a guy and he was like, whatever you want. And I was like, let's do sushi. I like had given him two options and I was like, let's do sushi. And he was like, I actually hate sushi. I was so hoping you were going to pick the other option. And I was like, womp womp.
The sadness. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. So, Charlie has eaten very little today. She had some toast and some weed. So love she's it. Like fucking starving right now.
I like that she's coming to this, like knowing what she's battling, knowing what she's like showing up for. She's ready to participate, even if it's going to be a horrible experience.
She's like a little scared.
I would be too.
So yeah, she's freaking out, but she's going to do this. So everyone else shows up. We got the Bubbas. We got Sheena and Brock. We got James and Raquel, everyone except Lala, basically. Schwartz's chest still hurts from when he ran into Brock.
Again, tell me your Schwartz without telling me your Schwartz.
Yeah, Charlie's nervous, but Sheena brought her famous enchiladas. And whoever edited a Sheena enchilada song is my favorite person.
Okay, I saw this because I watched it late. I saw this song on Instagram and literally thought it was just an Instagram thing. No. And then when I saw the episode, I was like, shut up. They put this actually in the episode.
I have to rewatch this episode at the end just to find out who was the editor, because I want to shout them out by name.
It's so good. Also, do you remember Sheena's famous enchiladas at all?
No.
Are they trolling her right now?
No, I think, honestly, I don't think this stuff ever aired. I think Bravo just knew about it.
They're just like, this is not important, but Sheena thinks it's so important.
Yeah, she's like, here's my enchiladas. She shaded Bravo
to see how many times she has brought it up in past seasons enough that they can like flash back to this.
She shaded Bravo last episode when she was doing her vlog saying, I just want to like do my vlog and edit me the way I should be edited. So now Bravo's like, fuck you, Sheena. Here's your enchilada song. Okay. I loved it. But, so first thing Charlie tries is absinthe. And she loves it.
That kind of shocks me. I feel like she'd be like more free reign with the alcohol that she never had absent.
She won't eat anything.
Jeez.
Okay, so now we're at Villa Rosa. Lala and Randall are here. They sit down with Ken and Lisa. Basically, when are you going to get married? Ha, psych, if you've paid attention to the news, the engagement is off.
Dude, this is so timely. Well, okay, so this is all filming over the summer. They were supposed to get married on 420. They canceled their wedding because of COVID.
Yes.
And here they say that like in the fall, so we're in the fall currently, like real time, they're going to replan for next year. And like Alicia said, psych, they're no longer together.
Awkward. But yeah, so we're going to pretend they are for the show's sake. But Lala's basically like, let's not even get married. Let's just stay together.
Which I'm hilarious. Like, her saying like, so then you can just like leave me if you want. I was like, all right, Lala, this is God. Where she like tries to be a bad bitch. And I'm like, there's no need for it. It's okay to have feelings, girly.
Cause like now it looks super
like,
awkward.
Now it's like, wait, ooh. Are you the one who wanted to break up? Did you not want to get married? I like these comments make me think that yeah. Randall still like, and it, I've read things that Randall like is trying to win her back. I don't really understand what happened because it seems like they broke up before the Nashville pictures came out.
Oh, I thought they broke up after the Nashville pictures. I don't know. Listen, all I know is Lala's at some hotel right now with Ocean.
Well, Randall... no, she's back in their house, but like, I think that she's living in a separate bedroom and is like separating herself and getting
a, I thought she apartment. Went back to the hotel. It doesn't matter. So. Either way, Randall's posting a bunch of pictures and videos right. of his of other
Ocean.
Kids.
Well, and of Ocean. Like, oh, I haven't seen every Ocean. Once in a while, it'll be of Ocean and it's like a freaking monsoon of them.
So funny. Anyway, but Randall really wants to get married. He still does.
It's a whole production, apparently.
So Lisa then is like, oh, Lala, are you not at Charlie's thing today? And Lala says that last night.
I love that. It's like, you're not at Charlie's thing. And it's like, no, I'm right here with you, Lisa. I'm
literally in front of you. But last night, Katie told Lala that they were all getting together at Sandoval and Ariana's. So Lala's taking this as Sandoval and Ariana didn't invite her, which yes. is Katie's fault. Katie really fucked this up.
Well, I don't think Katie really knows the full story either. She just got the invite a few minutes prior. But the like order sequence that this happened is Katie and Charlie talk, Lala and Sandoval have their talk, and then Katie and Lala talk. So basically, like in theory, Sandoval had a minute to also invite invite Lala to this party and didn't, and it's like a slap in the face after they just made good. But again, this isn't Lala or Ariana and Tom's party.
It was Charlie's decision to not invite her.
Yeah.
But this is more Lala's speed anyway.
Which people this that is don't the elitism. This is the elitism. Well, she says like being up in the like hills is like more my style. Like this is the elitism that isolates her from other people.
Yeah. And I get if she wants to hang out with people that don't drink as much because she doesn't drink, but you don't have to make it as like, well, I wasn't going to go anyway, you know, yes. that type. So back to Tom and Ariana's. Yeah. They're getting turnt. Raquel is chugging some wine. James is doing a shot of water. So those are the two ends of the spectrum we have right now.
You know what I do? James does a good job about being sober with this group and trying to yeah. have fun. I get that.
So we're going to eat. We split up into two tables. I thought this was cause more drama. It really didn't. It doesn't matter who's at what table anyway.
Yeah. It Charlie makes it seem like they're all at one table.
Charlie eats a mussel for the first time. At first she did this thing I used to do where you gag and then you go, oh wait, it's like not that bad. But that's like your instant like reaction as I'm trying yes. something new and it's disgusting.
Yes.
But she likes it. She doesn't really like the enchiladas though, but we're not going to tell Sheena until Sheena sees that's this episode.
The best part is like, these really aren't my thing. Nobody tells Sheena. It's like, thank God. And Sheena's sitting over there like, I got to like, perk up and make sure I watch Charlie like
eat my enchiladas. And she's sitting there, she's like, I'm just excited for my enchiladas, like
won't Bravo stop like now so Bravo's dirty. Trolling her anytime she mentions the goddamn enchiladas in this sitting. I'm like, sure everybody discussed their food and was like, oh, I can't wait to see if she likes the carnitas tacos. Yeah. But like that didn't get cut in. It's all about Sheena's goddamn enchiladas.
My favorite was while we were getting food, because it's like, you know, serve yourself style. Sheena, it's like a slight, she said it so quietly, but Bravo's got mic, so they caught it. Yes. And she literally goes, I just want my enchiladas. they got her. So anyway, Raquel asked Sandoval about the bar and Sandoval.
Which I love how she just asked Sandoval. There's well, no
Sandoval
like
was at her table.
Oh, I thought like
Schwartz was at the was other table.
I was like,
I think we're in two different rooms.
Oh, I was like we all know Schwartz knows nothing.
Yeah, Schwartz and Katie, it's like Schwartz, Katie, Brock, and Sheena are at the table right by the kitchen. And okay. then in the dining room,
but you can like it's see everyone else. It seems like you can kind of see it's like an open concept a little but bit. They're, okay.
It's like separated. Not enough. Yeah. Okay. So Raquel's like, hey, Sandoval, how's the bar? And he says, great. Deadline is Friday. We got the mission statement. We got to start designing. And then we flash to Katie and Schwartz's table. And Katie says she wants to come see the bar. And Schwartz is like, yeah, I mean, you like don't have to if you don't want to, but like if you want to come, you can come see it. Katie's I'll be like, distracted. Yeah. He's like, I'll be distracted, so I can't pay attention.
I'm going
to
this Friday. You should come. You yeah. should come. I'll be distracted, but like you should come.
And Katie's like, I'm deaf gonna come. Thanks for the warm invite.
This spells trouble for me because it seems like Katie's not supposed to be there.
No.
And I'm gonna say is a nod to that preview.
I'm going to bet that Schwartz didn't tell Sandy that
Schwartz was will coming. Not between now and Friday tell Sandy that no. Katie is coming.
So Katie then asked Sheena if she got a chance to talk to Lala, and Sheena said she didn't really get a chance, but she also doesn't really have anything to say to her. Mm-hmm. Katie, but then it says like, hey, did Lala say anything about me? And we get a nice flash to when Lala said that Sheena's a dangerous person. So Katie knows this, but instead of starting drama, thank God.
Katie handles this well. She's like, I mean, it's the same tune, you know, like she
doesn't have anything to say.
She stands where she stands and that's about it.
Yeah, you know, she doesn't have anything to say.
Nothing new really. I mean, the same old, same old.
So Brock is very upset about the Lala thing. So Katie tries to stick out for Lala and says when she feels attacked, she attacks back. And Sheena's like, well, that's dangerous. So I feel like Sheena knew that Lala called her dangerous because I think she said it at the table at Lisa's.
Yeah.
Well, like, no. Dangerous friend or something.
Oh, at the tea party?
Yeah. Or yeah. No.
The Tom Tom drink.
The Tom Tom drink.
Yeah, yes. Definitely in front of Sheena and Brock. Lala has said that Brock is dangerous.
Sheena's a dangerous friend.
No, that Brock is dangerous because of the domestic violence thing, I think.
I feel like she's also said Sheena's like a dangerous person to be friends with.
I think like she said that to Katie, at the hot tub. Oh, maybe.
I feel like Sheena's heard it because Sheena does say, well, that's the date. That's who's dangerous. And Brock was like, yeah, I just don't like that Lala disrespects me, which is fair. It's all fair. It's fine. I don't care anymore.
I know. This isn't interesting. Like,
I know.
Because Brock has any time, like somebody's asked him something, he's been so honest. This isn't like interesting.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing hidden. There's nothing like people are digging up. It's just like, let's keep talking about the same information that we already have known for 4 episodes.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. So now we're back at Villa Rosa. Lala's opening up and says that, you know, being in this situation with her friend group, she realizes how little this group actually knows about her. And Lala's like, yeah. Or Lisa goes, yeah, but you've changed a lot throughout the year. So they might not know you. Like Lala's gotten sober, lost her dad, had a baby, became a stepmom. I don't know all this shit she said.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think those are the big hitters, which is very true.
Yeah. So Lala says she feels like a better person. So it's just sad that this group doesn't see that. And she says it doesn't feel good when you feel like everyone else has earned their place, but Lala still has to prove something, which I think Lala is an insider in this group.
I think she was an insider with the old OGs.
Oh, you think like the stuff.
So now we're like where the cast stands, it really leans to the new group and the Sandoval and Ariana and the Sheenas of the group are more empowered, I would say, on this show than in years past.
That's true.
So there is a different dynamic here, but the thing with change is I think Lala has had some big life moments that have changed her. However, her behavior with her friends has not changed a lot.
Yeah. Like she's still yelling. She's still getting angry. She's so still arguing.
People aren't going to know you and like get to know you if your approach hasn't changed. And you haven't given them space to know you. It doesn't seem like she's opening space for them. And we did have a year pandemic in this. So that does some of those things of like Lala becoming a mom, like they haven't had the time to get to know that part. Yeah. That it's not really fair to say it's their job to get to know you when you're not opening space for them to get to know you either.
Yeah. And she does have walls up, which I think is, mm-hmm. it can be fine, but you can't expect people to break down the walls. Like she wasn't friends with Sheena for a long time. And then she talked shit about Ariana on a podcast. Like
yeah.
you're not doing anything to invite people really like back in your lives. And she posted, I think on the premiere of Vanderpump Rules, she posted a picture of all the OGs that are no longer on.
Yes.
But none which of like,
I the think was people. A slap in the face.
Yeah. Because then it was that the whole like, well, they paved the way for this show. And I'm like, yeah, but also they did like,
some this isn't horribly- like you posted 7 pictures on your stories. And that was one of them. That was the yeah. only picture you posted.
And like, they also deserve the consequences they got. So yeah,
they're not on this show. Like if you want to do a flashback at any time and post that picture, that is
fine.
Nobody's saying don't post that picture,
but
on the premiere of this show where they are, those three are not on this show anymore.
Yeah,
that's the photo you chose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So now so Lala's just sad and that's where it ends with her. Anyway, now we go back to Tom and Ariana's house. We're trying new things. Charlie does some shot and she fucking hates it. Whatever it is, she is not down. Brock and Sheena has to leave. They have to leave to go take care of their kid, but they say they're so proud of Charlie before they leave. Charlie's like, thank you so much.
Great
this
job.
This is my type
How
of
about
thing.
Those- Everyone's enchiladas.
How'd you like the enchiladas? So
while the parents are away, the kids will play some drinking yeah. games. I like this.
Oh my god. First off, Raquel is a dancing queen. She oh is clearly my
god. And Schwartz, I think it's Schwartz and like Brock
Corey.
Or like-
Corey.
Oh, Corey.
Corey.
They're like Raquel, a little tipsy is fun.
Corey literally says, I love tipsy Raquel.
Let's go, honey.
He's like, Charlie, why don't we double with them more often? This is lit.
Yeah, screw the parents, Sheena and Brock. Like, let's go down this road. Do this.
So yeah, they start playing this game. Some highlights are that Ariana gets a dare to give a hand job to the most phallic thing in the room for 30 seconds. Which I want to know why there's a ceramic penis in Tom and Ariana's
Are you fucking kidding me?
Living room.
Just Sandoval. Remember why? His like get ups and his.
Why?
I'm shocked there's not a whole light show on it.
Who sold this? Who would buy this? Are you kidding?
I want to know if this was a purchase by either one of them or a joint purchase, how long they've had it. There's so many thoughts.
Why is it displayed?
Was created, they did not think this would happen.
I'm so confused. But Sandoval puts it in his pants and then
this is like Ariana, a little too close to home.
Ariana's
like, we're a very close group, but like we're very close now. And I'm like, I don't want to be this close with people.
We do never have I ever. And Katie says, never have I ever gotten plastic surgery. Charlie's out in a second. Ooh. And then of course Raquel's out. And because Raquel's
tipsy
drunk,
Raquel is like,
listen about my nose job. So she gets really upset about this nose job because she's thinking about how she has to pay $30,000. I'm sure. I'm not like totally sure on her feelings, but she got really upset. Corey, that is like drunk Raquel is not fun anymore.
Yeah, and like flash to the guys again, and they're like, their faces are like confused, like, what the fuck? How do we tip from like the fun tipsy Raquel dancing to like crying over her nose job that nobody even knew she had and can't tell?
Listen, I'm not gonna put Corey as my accepted, but I just want to shout him out. He was the funniest person. His face.
I'm Corey.
Was like,
oh. I'm Corey.
I know. So, she opens up about how she just spent $16,000,
which everybody's
everyone,
like, what?
Oh. But now she has to spend $30,000. Whoa. It's crazy. Schwartz had a legit heart attack. I don't think he ever recovered.
Schwartz is
he
like,
may be dead.
Why the fuck did you pay that much? Why didn't you just why couldn't you give me the loan for
yeah,
Schwartz
what
and
the
Sandy's?
Fuck, girl, I'm broke.
Yeah, so, I could use that money.
So then James interjects and says, this is actually stressful for him. And Ariana is like, why the fuck it's stressful? Drunk Ariana.
Thank you, Ariana. Like, thank you for saying everything.
Why is it stressful for you? And he goes, because I'm the one that has to stare at her nose. And Ariana's like, well, it's on her face. She has to look at it too. So James just keeps making Raquel feel bad. Like, oh, she fucked up her nose and now she's ugly and now I have to look at it.
Yeah, that's I have to vibe. Deal with this for the rest of my life too. Yeah.
It's not great. But then, so they finally get off sad Raquel and we're going to play the drinking game still. So basically it's like categories.
Yeah, it seems. Yes.
A category. And then
well, it seems like there's around. Like five different decks of cards and one of them is categories, which they keep end up.
Yeah. So we're going to do categories. Like we did like first ladies and it stopped at Raquel because she couldn't think of one. Charlie tried to help her. It didn't work.
I get then it. Charlie, did, I'm you too. Where I'm like,
same. I'm like, keep it going. Keep it going. Like, I don't like when Pepper a drinking Bush. Games ends, you know, I want it to like keep going.
Especially
a
on
bit.
The same person. So I get Charlie being like, let me just give you an answer. So like we can move this along.
We did boy bands, which it like sucks that the three big boy bands of the world got taken
that
first,
one.
And then it was,
Raquel. I'm going to give Raquel a pass because you're right. There are not many.
The three biggest ones got picked right off the bat. So yeah, so Raquel really sucks at this game. Also, we know she has social anxiety.
Yes.
Also, she's drunk. She's
drunk.
And also, this is like a timed event that everyone's watching her. Like, yes. There's stress.
The more questions she actually has to answer, the worse it's gonna get, even if she didn't have social anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, I feel this, and your mind just goes blank sometimes. So I feel like her mind's going blank. The social anxiety setting in, she's drunk. At this point, I would personally, I'd be like, Raquel, we're skipping you this round. I love you, but we're skipping you.
Yeah, I'd be like, Raquel,
let's go again.
Whatever you want to, like, team up with Charlie, like, you two think together or something.
Or like, how about you sit over here towards the end, or like, you go first.
Everyone's not mad at Raquel except James, who is very sober. And listen, I've done it. I've tried to play a drinking game with sober or with drunk
there
people.
Is frustration.
It doesn't work.
I see his annoyance here, because then once he points out he's sober and everybody's drunk, I started seeing all the annoying things that I'd be like pissed about too, but I would just get up and walk away.
I would get up, walk away, or I do that like Raquel's on my team, or I would just like
many other things.
Go eat and watch or something.
Yes. Like, sit at the. I love sitting at a counter and just watching things happen so you don't actually have to be involved and stress yourself out.
Yeah. And I get this. I'm already the type of person that loves to play a game fair if I'm like feeling competitive. I've gotten better about knowing that if I'm playing it drunk with people, we're probably not going to get very far. I'm going to try.
Yeah. Drinking games are not competitive. Like, let's keep score.
I try, it doesn't work, so I keep drinking. James, he should have known, but he gets very annoyed.
Yeah.
And so he skips Raquel or something and says his answer, and Raquel, being drunk, mocks it. She's like, ooh, I'm James, or whatever she said.
And I think this is something that happens a lot in social scenarios. When you kind of feel embarrassed, you find the next person to kind of embarrass.
Yeah.
So you get the target off you.
Yeah, but then James is already mad. So this like didn't go over well.
No, it did not.
So he calls Charlie and Raquel dumb. And so that's when Charlie's like, hey,
we're
you
not
can't
dumb.
Call us dumb. Mm-mm. And then Raquel gets really upset by this because I think it's a trigger because she was called dumb for seasons in the public eye. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
What she was
so she just gets up and walks away.
Yeah. She gets up. She's clearly like upset. She gets up and walks away. Charlie goes after her. And James is literally like, can we just go on with the game? And Sandoval's like, dude, you fucked up. You fucked up.
Yeah. And then Jax is like, or Jax. He's becoming Jax. James is like, was that a bit too much? And everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot too
much.
That's
where we end.
And that's the end. It was fantastic. Listen, I'm not condoning what James does. I think he lost it a little bit too much. I don't think he's doing it correctly. At the same time, he shouldn't have called her dumb. At the same time, there's nothing more frustrating than being the sober person and trying to get drunk people to do something. But you have to know yourself well enough to get up and get the fuck out of there.
I agree. I think this is the one where I don't think this is funny though. Like, he's just being a dick for no reason.
Agreed. Okay. So next time, the Toms haven't sold Greg on the idea of the bar, and Katie is helping with the bar, and Greg actually likes Katie. Lala confronts Sheena, and Sheena doesn't hold back. James keeps talking about Raquel's nose and kind of threatens to leave if it doesn't look good.
I'm tired of him putting his feelings at the front of this nose issue.
Okay.
Listen, I do think your appearance is important to people, and I get that, but like, let's have that conversation like after the crisis mode.
Also, I think once you fall in love, you like, Raquel's going to get pregnant. She's going to be fat somehow. Yeah. Like, you're fine.
Like, she's fucking falling in love with or without a fucked up nose.
Damn.
You could be working with me or Alicia instead.
Yeah, rip. Rip to that. Okay, accepted in black. Do you know?
I know so hard what I'm doing.
Okay, pick your first one.
I'm accepting Charlie. I'm so proud of her food and overcoming things. She liked a majority of those things. I know it was so scary. My favorite was the mussels. She was so terrified to try it and immediately loved it. I was so excited.
Listen, I was going to do Charlie, but instead I'm going to do my bitch Ariana.
Nice.
Supporting Charlie, letting Charlie use her house, not getting involved with that. Ugh, Sandoval and Lala sucked into shit. It.
She's like,
no. And then she's
yelling, I'm out.
She sticks up for Raquel because she's like, fuck that, James. This isn't stressful for you. It's her fucking face. You shut up.
That was a good one.
Boom.
I'm blocking James.
Me too. Let's double.
Dude, him clapping in that consultation because he wasn't the cause of the fucked up nose. Bad. Again, putting himself in the front of the nose problem. Him talking about how, like, if she's like her nose being effed up, he's the one who has to look at it every day. And then like calling her dumb. Like he should know that that like is not okay with her specifically. Like he knows her so well.
My poor baby angel. Yeah, I'm blocking James too for all the same reasons.
It's sad.
It's just not great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for listening. This has been nothing short of fantastic. I'm excited for next
episode. I want the Schwartz and Sandy's drama.
Oh, I'm so excited for Katie to be in love with Greg. And those
I like seeing people crush it. And I need Katie to crush it in this conversation.
Oh my God, I'm going to laugh so hard. Okay. Do all the stuff I said you should do at the beginning of the episode. Goodbye.
Bye.